This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
3-point shot where Jimmy was just going off from three. So he is capable of going off from three. Yeah, maybe it's just you have to wait till the playoffs for it to happen. But it has happened before where Jimmy just starts draining from beyond the arc. Consistently, no, that's not really his thing.
I mean, I think Jimmy's got more 40 burgers in the playoffs than Steph.
That's true. I don't know. So are we starting to lean Jimmy Butler is the guy you want the ball in the hands?
I'm just trying to fuel the fire.
Let's flush this out a little bit. You know, well, I think go different ways with this.
I think the 6-5-0 has a perfect answer, whichever is most available. That's the beauty of two options. But that's my point. Like, if you have a determined number one, the ball is in their hands, mm-hmm. and the ball probably starts with Steph, and you know we'll figure out based on the possession. But that's why I love what they have right now. They have two guys with the ball in their hands in crunch time that I believe can make a game-winning shot for them.
Yeah.
And you could not say that as of 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. It's definitely not going to be Draymond at the end, such as the infamous Memphis Grizzlies play-in game, which even all these years later, you know, I'm just like, what?
Oh, boy.
What?
Oh, yeah. No. Please, in the name of God. Please don't give me that. All right. By the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. That's Sam Lubman. My name is Evan Giddings. Carter Kammer here as well, filling in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on the morning roast. And, well, Sam, you riled some folks, okay?
Hey, man, I know how to get my roasters going.
Let's go to Brett in San Francisco. Brett, one shot. Aliens got the death beam pointed at Earth. Who's taking the final shot, Jimmy Butler or Steph Curry?
Is that the plot of Space Jam 3?
Good morning, gentlemen, by the way.
What's up?
I'm going to take Jimmy Buckets on that. And I'll tell you why. I mean, what a great problem to have, though, right?
Yeah.
Jimmy Buckets gets you to the paint. Jimmy can get inside, and more than likely, he can get to the line as well. Whereas Steph is more, I got to get a pick set, I'm going to shoot a 30-footer, or, you know, Jimmy can get where he wants. Not that Steph can't, but I give the edge to Jimmy Buckets on that one. Thanks for taking the call, guys.
I think that's...
All right, so that's one for Jimmy.
But that's a good point he brings up. Jimmy gets to the free throw line easier than Curry does. Mm-hmm. Curry's the greatest free throw shooter in the history of basketball, but Jimmy Butler...
He gets the calls.
Can get contact when he needs to.
Yeah. Whereas Steph, it's... You ask a Warrior fan, it's a bit of a battle watching him get these calls or not get these calls. So, yeah, that's a good point, too. I do think, I wonder how many callers are going to echo this, just Jimmy's ability to kind of get closer to the bucket and get that bucket, as he call him, Jimmy Buckets. That probably gives him a bit of an edge there in terms of who you give the ball to. I'm curious to see what our other roasters have to say about that.
All right, well, let's ask him. Oreo Cookie is
Oreo!
In Oakland. Oreo, what's up? Double stuff or what?
What up? Always. Maybe you got to go big.
It's got to be the mega stuff. Once you go mega stuff,
that's
you can't
right.
go any less stuff.
Well, I'm going to go with Jimmy having the ball.
Oh.
But can you imagine having Curry at the corner waiting for the open shot? Now, you start off with Jimmy having the ball, and he does his thing in the paint. He's either going to get you a hand one, a foul, or he's going to kick it out to Curry. Now, the defense is going to be so worried about Curry that they can't double-team Jimmy. So you start with Jimmy with the ball in his hands, and then you let him make the decision and you play basketball.
I like it. Yeah. I like it, Oreo.
It's kind of one of those things that kind of feel like if it's Steph or Jimmy, it's just like almost an embarrassment of riches, so to speak, when you have one of those two to take the last shot.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'd rather have the Celtics starting five, if we're being honest.
That's true, yeah. Okay.
You know, there are other rosters I would prefer, but yeah, if you're talking about two of the greatest to ever do it playing on the same time, at the same place, then yeah, Steph and Jimmy are there.
Yeah, just, I don't know, like, whatever the phrase pick your poison, whatever the opposite of that phrase is, you know, whatever the opposite of poison would be there, like it's kind of thing. It's like you feel good with either option, and when it's been so long since we've had that kind of a dynamic where you got two guys who you're feeling so great with the ball in at the end of the game. It's, again, we talk about making things easier, making things more confident, building that momentum. All this just kind of ties into kind of that feeling right there of having two guys who you feel super good with at the end of a game.
Well, we can revisit this when Jimmy misses a go-ahead shot.
Well, then he's the worst ever, and we got to ship him out of here for whatever we can get. Obviously, that's how this works. It's an overreaction Monday.
Everybody wants Steph taking the shot. Yeah, it's going to be based on
It's not going to be Brandon Pajemski taking that last shot. No, we're done with that. Oh, maybe.
Well,
we'll get there.
Stop!
Pods, quietly. The most confident Warrior on the roster, again, plus 30 last night. Man. Hey, you know who had the most rebounds on the team last night?
So what?
Oh, come on. The rebounds matter.
13 boards for Podsy?
He's just the dirty work doer, man. We love that.
Steph missed her clutch last year. Let's not kid ourselves. That's also fair for the 415. I would also argue it's a regular season award. And the guy, most recently has been to the postseason, has been, well, further in the postseason, was Jimmy Butler. So,
and Jimmy does know how to be clutch in the playoffs. So Steph doesn't have a lot of clutch last second shots in the playoffs. I mean, they've been up so big in a lot of these playoff games, he hasn't really had the opportunity to. But like, when I think of like Steph clutch shots in the playoffs, the first one I go to is that one in game three against the Pelicans in that first playoff run.
You mean his very first playoff series?
It's a lot of it's just how many of these games were that close where they needed him to get that shot at the end? I mean, I thought it just goes to say where, you know, it's when you're in a position where you don't need a last second shot, and that's not a bad thing either.
No, I mean, second half against the Rockets in game six, and I got to have a game. He was really good.
Yeah.
That took him to seven. I mean, I know they didn't win the series, but he was incredible in Toronto Raptors finals.
Yeah.
Obviously, the games he had against Boston, I know there wasn't maybe one shot in the final seconds that was there for him, but now Curry, just because it's not a quote-unquote, like defined as a clutch shot, doesn't mean that Curry hasn't been as clutch as any other person.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's not the point I'm trying. Because, yeah, he's had so many of these clutch performances that's always the thing. It's always like it's a performance. It's the whole game encapsulated to what he's doing there. It never really does come down to just one shot. There is a body of work element with Steph and his clutchness that, goes beyond just that last shot. So, yeah, that's why I would kind of frame it like that.
Speaking of irrational confidence, you know that Pajemski and Butler are kindred spirits? They're basically spirit animals for each other. That's what Steve Kerr said after.
Just IQ, just feel for the game. Passing, cutting, rebounding. Durant had 13 rebounds today, you know, and Jimmy gets every loose ball. So those things add up. When you get three or four more loose balls, long rebounds per game, now all of a sudden the game opens up. Somebody hits a three, you get a little momentum, and it feeds on itself. And both guys just make winning plays. And when they're out there together, they complement each other really well.
Yeah, they're playing very well together. The old bull and the young calf, the old Butler and the young Pods. And you know who else has been really good as a young Bay Area sports performer, Sam? Macklin Celebrini.
It's time for 60 Seconds of Celebrini.
Celebrini Exchanges. Shoot, star!
Where we recap all the great things Sharks phenom Macklin Celebrini did last night.
Wouldn't you know it, the number one overall draft pick, Macklin Celebrini.
Your 60 Seconds of Celebrini starts now.
Yeah, one of my favorite segments of the week. Sharks lose another tough one, though, 3-2 to the Calgary Flames. Macklin Celebrini made his debut on Calgary ice last night, though, and had the Sharks on the board early with this wrist shot about 3.5 minutes into the first period.
Going down.
Wallman, a slap shot. That was blocked, but Ford got to the Calgary net. Now back to Jake at the point. Sends it ahead to Eklund in front.
Randy Hahn on that call there for NBC Sports California. Macklin's golden goal, the 18th goal of the year for the 18-year-old rookie. 41 points in 46 games played, second among all rookies behind his old BU teammate Lane Hutson up in Montreal. Flames would score the next two, though, before Tyler Toffoli tied it up early in the third. Unfortunately, the Flames did get the go-ahead goal from John Hanley with about 13 minutes into that final frame. Sharks had a couple chances late, Evan, but a couple of penalties late there doomed any chance they had. Sharks have had 25 close games this season. We talked about the Warriors in clutch games. Sharks have had a lot as well. 10 and 15 in those games, and just figuring out how to close these close ones. It's been tough for the young Sharks, but Macklin got a goal. Sharks took an L. That's just how it's been for the most part this year, and that is your 60 seconds of Celebrini.
Okay, seriously, you're going to have to help me here. They dropped the tough one. They haven't been able to close out games. What's their record?
Their record right now is, they got like 15 wins this year. Let me pull up the...
Assuming at this stage in the year that's not very good.
No, they are the worst team in the NHL right now. 37 points has them in the very, very far bottom. 15-36 with 7 overtime losses. The reason I don't pay attention to the wins and losses this year, Evan, is because there are no losses. There are just lessons. So it's 15 wins, 36 lessons. And, you know, because what's Yoda always say? The greatest teacher failure is... The Sharks are getting a lot of important lessons this year. So it's, again, they're a year away from being a year away, but it's just when you see the way that Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Yaroslav Askarov in the goal, he wasn't in the goal last night, it was Georgiev, but you're starting to see how these pieces will come together over time. Again, all these kids are teenagers right now, so.
Yoda lost, by the way. You know that?
Well, you know, that's...
I'm just saying, you got 15 wins. We got to pile up some better 60 seconds of Celebrini. We got to get some W's in there.
Well, they'll get the W's will come. You know, they're still in that development stage. They got the best farm system in the NHL. So once these kids start matriculating up into the NHL and start turning from prospects into hockey players, it's just going to keep getting better from there. So
where'd you get that from? Losses or lessons?
I made it up.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I'm very philosophical that way.
You going to put it on your gravestone?
I'm a philosopher.
I lost, but I learned my lesson.
There you go. Lesson learned.
We want to win life, Sam. We don't want to lose in life, all right? We want to be the four-time champs.
Well, obviously you want to win, but, you know, sometimes there's a process in building it up.
Well, there's a process. You can ask Sam Presti about that, and it's taken quite
process,
some time to turn that into victories. All right, again, I know I teased the Draymond sound. It is actually a story. I'm going to read these quotes to you on the other side because he spoke specifically to Marcus Thompson and Sam Amick of The Athletic about what he said on All-Star Weekend, promising a championship, and why through six games he might not be as crazy as he sounded on the TNT broadcast. That's what's coming up in the game, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body. Sam Lubman, Evan Giddings, in for Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky. We're back after this on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Dub Nation is Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Ah! Pods. That's my guy. Ouch. Well, as of yesterday. We're like best friends now.
We'll see what happens on the next game.
How'd you guys that you
yeah,
have?
That is dead to me.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens in the game after that, where he's back in our good graces.
Sam Lubman, Evan Giddings. We got two more segments here before Stein and Guru check in at 10 o'clock. Filling in for Spadoni and Shasky that are going to be back on Wednesday. Reminder, at 12 o'clock in that hour, you're going to have a chance to win a Jimmy Butler jersey. And then at 4 o'clock, we already gave away ours. Congratulations to the listener. And you get two more cracks at it, of course, to celebrate Jimmy Butler. But the thing is, all right, I did this on Saturday, so I don't have to. But I did fill out my Brandon Pajemski apology form. Have you done that yet?
I have not that. I did not. Is there an official form? Is it notarized? Where do I get that from? Do I have to go talk to the boss about that? I had to sign another waiver on Friday. I don't know if that was, maybe that was what I was signing, was the universal apology letter. I don't.
Like an NDA? What?
No, okay, I'm clear. No, I guess I have not. This is a long way away to say I have not gotten that form yet. I do not have my letter written out yet.
Okay, well,
I got some thoughts in my head of what's going to go into it, but have I put pen to paper? No, not quite yet.
Well, it's just always funny to me how there's always these apologies that we got to do, right? It's, yeah. We got to apologize to Dunleavy, we got to apologize to Pajemski, and it's like if he shoots 20% the rest of the season, I'm not going to be apologizing for anything. But I landed on the fact that I was jealous. I was jealous of Pods. That was the reason why
I
decided to apologize.
What are you so jealous of Pods about? The hair?
Well, he's just a successful, you know, up and coming young man. By the way, you got to adjust your camera.
Ooh.
And the thing about it is also because he has a confidence and a swagger that appears to be just flowing. And yeah. It's really, I don't know if it's just because of Jimmy, but Draymond Green, The Athletic, really pointed to that acquisition as being the reason why he promised a title. And this is what he told to Marcus Thompson and Sam Amick of The Athletic. Quote, in order to explain his proclamation, quote, I just know what it looks like. This team all year has been kind of like, man, we're right there, but we can't get over the hump. But there's a reason that you feel like you're right there, but you can't quite get over. And the reason I think we all thought we couldn't quite get over was because there was a missing piece. That missing piece isn't missing anymore. That piece is him.
He is him?
Hemi Butler.
Hemi Butler. Amazing how that all works out.
I ad-libbed that last part, but yes, he's the missing piece, apparently to a championship, which is strange because before the deadline, I didn't think that they were one move away. And if they end up getting this thing done, I'll be happy to be proven wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think one move away from where they were to championship contender felt like a lot. And, you know, as we're here on this overreaction Monday and how far this Warriors team can go, you know, I think I said earlier on the show that I see a path to the finals. I'm not going to sit here and say they are the finals favorite or anything like that in terms of how much Jimmy Butler has elevated this team. But I do think Jimmy Butler has elevated the Warriors to where if you were to make a room of, and then, you know, a little exclusive club, so to speak, and only invite in teams that have legitimate championship aspirations and could actually, you know, come through on those aspirations. Yeah, I think the Warriors would be allowed into that club. I think they're on that guest list right now. They would be allowed past the velvet rope and into that exclusive championship contender nightclub that we all like to see teams in. And yeah, that's a big part of what Jimmy Butler's brought, and that is that feeling of just feeling like an NBA contender again. Because the last 2 years, Evan, like, the Warriors have been a good team the last 2 years, but we were never looking at them as like a, oh, you don't want to see them in the playoffs, or, oh man, let's just wait till they flip that switch when the playoffs come around. You couldn't say that about this team these last 2 years. And with Draymond, the way he says it, I just know what it looks like. You know, he has seen it before. He has seen what truly great teams that are capable of flipping the switch look like. And, you know, there's a lot of things Draymond likes to say things because he's Draymond Green. This is one of those ones, though, where it's just like Draymond saying it like this. Like, yeah, I kind of lean forward on this one. I kind of take Dre seriously when he says, you know, I've seen it before, and you know, he is that missing piece, that, you know, Jimmy Butler is him in that sense.
Yeah, and this is more from The Athletic piece with Sam Amick and Marcus Thompson. Draymond Green went on to say, Jimmy almost won the championship leading the team twice. I think we needed a little more to get over the hump. He, Jimmy Butler, needed a little more to get over the hump. You combine those two together, talking about Curry and Jimmy, and it's like burning for that. You know, there are some guys who have done it before but are burning to effing do it one more time. You mix the two together with the know-how, because Jimmy knows how, obviously we know how, and what you get is what everybody's going to see. Again, it's kind of, I mean, I didn't read the story earlier. It just came out, I think, less than an hour ago, but I was left leaving yesterday, having watched these first six games in which the Warriors have taken care of business against teams they're supposed to. You know, they got one loss late against Dallas. But, you got two players that have individually carried franchises before. And to me, Jimmy Butler's been probably the most, like, underrated one of his generation. If you're asking me, prime, do I want Jimmy Butler, James Harden, I'm taking Jimmy Butler. Because, yeah. James Harden's a guy that has come close, and to be fair, his Rockets teams were a win away, again, from beating the Warriors. But Jimmy Butler's a dude that, again, he just does more with less. And I also, I think I just kind of have an affinity for his play style, because to me, he's unselfish. Like, he's someone that can control a basketball game while taking 10 shots, and I personally just think that that's a brand of basketball I enjoy.
Yeah. Well, I just love the aggression that he can bring on both sides of the floor, too. Like, he could just be an animal out there with just the way he's built, the length he has, and the know-how he has, and how to utilize his body. And talk about, yeah, the guy who has been there before, why it just... Where am I trying to go with this? Like, that's part why, yeah, as we keep reiterating, the confidence, the momentum that we're building here. It's exciting to kind of see where... I'm trying to think of the best way to put this here. It's based just what Draymond's saying. Like, I'm kind of spaced on where the thought... I had a thought there, and I totally just lost it.
No, you're all good. Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Are you reevaluating what Draymond Green said on Sunday at the All-Star game? You know, to me, contender might be a little bit too strong of a word to use because, again, I don't think they've beaten a team that's a contender themselves. But they're going to see a few of those squads, and that'll let us know how legitimate their chances are. What I think they've quite clearly elevated themselves into the category of is dangerous. Like, I think you made a great point earlier, Sam. If anybody from the top four has to play this team in the West, they're not going to be happy about it.
No.
Of the four teams that are in the bottom part, Minnesota, I think, is also in this category just because last year they did go to the Western Conference
Finals. They do have one of the best young players in the league in Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, but they're different because they don't have what made them so special last year, which was a complimentary big, really, to Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. I think they've taken a little bit of a step back, but I think they're dangerous. To my point, though, if you're a top four team, if you're OKC, Denver, Memphis, or Houston's the fifth or the fourth right now, I think you don't want to see Golden State in that first round. That's the category that I'd put them in right now. They're a very dangerous team.
Well, yeah, because even if you do beat them, it's going to take a lot out of you. Last thing, they will not be an easy out. Which is, you know, if you're not going to win in the playoffs, you could at least make it incredibly difficult for the team that you're playing against. And that's where it's like, yeah, it's you want if you're going to win a playoff series, you want easy playoff series. You don't want to be having to work through things. You know, I remember it was that last title run or that last run with Kevin Durant where the Warriors had the Clippers in the first round, and the Clippers made them work way too hard in that series. Now, I'm not saying that's the reason why the Warriors ended up losing the finals later on because they played those two extra games against the Clippers, but there is the level of frustration from that series because this was a Warriors team that is just far and away better than that Clippers team, but the Clippers made them work, and there's a frustration there, and, you know, you don't want frustration in the playoffs. So, yeah, it will be the Warriors will be an incredibly frustrating out in the playoffs if you are able to get there. If you are matched up against them in the playoffs.
Yeah, if you can get there and if you can stay healthy. You know, I don't think it's a situation like 2019 where, you know, you mentioned they broke down. Like, that was the only thing preventing them from winning the title.
Yeah, it was the injuries.
If Durant and Clay don't get hurt, maybe even if just Clay doesn't get hurt, they might win it all. But I don't view this season as that. They need to stay healthy to realize whatever their potential is. And I don't think they even know what it is. Like, they have caught lightning in a bottle. And that's what's exciting about watching every game. Even a game like, let's say, tomorrow, Charlotte's in town. I know that's a team you probably should beat, but there's going to be something in that game that demands your attention. Tim Roy's going to be on the call. I want to hear what Tim Roy has to say on these airwaves about that game tomorrow because it was like there were so many different moments throughout the game yesterday that stood out to me that didn't even have to do with basketball. That just, again, extracted the emotion that has been either dormant or absent for like 3 months, and that is the first Warriors chant in forever long for Jimmy Butler in the first quarter in his home debut. Haven't had that energy in some time. A moment that I was lucky enough to capture on camera, Jimmy on Pods' back and then going to the bench and Jimmy pumping him up before Brandon Podziemski apparently takes the wrong water bottle and looks like he just sipped on some syrup. You know, those are the kinds of moments that throughout this game, Curry giving the quick night-night to P.J. Washington, and then Draymond at the very end holding the night-night. These are all things that aren't basketball-related, but because of the confidence that this team is peaking with right now, like, you're going to get more of that every single night.
I mean, is that, as we're talking about all the production that Jimmy Butler brings on the court, is it going to come down to the fact that the intangible stuff, that's going to be the bigger impact, which, again, is not to take away from the on-court impact. The on-court impact has been huge. But in terms of just, you know, the gift that keeps on giving, are we going to end up saying, like, that was the biggest boost that Jimmy Butler brought? Like, I think Draymond even mentioned, you know, we needed him and he needed us. I mean, this is just, it felt like at the time a shotgun marriage, like, but now it just feels like it's the perfect pairing and just the non, like the stuff you can't quantify on the stat sheet, like the vibes, the energy, the feeling, the confidence. Are we going to look back and say like that was the bigger boost that Jimmy Butler brought to this team, not just the on-court production? Or is that, again, maybe it's getting ahead of ourselves here in that situation, but like everything I've been seeing about Jimmy Butler, it's yes, they've had more points on the stat sheet than the other team, which is obviously good, but it's just over and over again, it's the same stuff. It's easy. We're feeling more confident. We're feeling more comfortable. We're getting more momentum. All this stuff goes beyond the stat sheet there. So yeah, it's just as we talk more and more about Jimmy Butler's the Butler benefits here, it feels like the bigger benefits have been almost off the court, which, again, crazy to say considering how great he's been on.
Well, we're going to find out. I mean, well, off the court, I mean, like, in the confines of the arena.
Yeah, you
know,
again,
we still don't know what kind of teammate Jimmy Butler is.
I mean, he's been known to be a great teammate in the past when he is, you know, cooperating and showing up. When things go south, obviously, that's when things get a little bit different there. But, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah, a couple things.
And it will happen.
A couple things to clean up. Thank you, 5-0. That's right. Lakers are in fourth right now. They've been playing some good basketball. They've won 8 of 10.
Yeah. Rockets got the 5 seed, yeah.
Yeah, because they've been sliding down a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the other thing I was going to mention? Oh, this from the 818. Hate to bring it up with all the positive stuff going on, but
uh-oh.
I am concerned about Draymond's passing. That's from Joe in Burbank. I'm assuming he means the turnover twins and their ridiculous passes.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually not as much concerned about Draymond's passing as I am. I do think the biggest question he has to answer is, can he play the five for the next 25 games, 30 minutes a night?
And that's where I think Quentin Post is going to really have to rise up there because, you know, I don't think Draymond is super thrilled about the prospect of having to do the five every night. He knows he can do it, but it's like, you know, you'd rather not have to be reliant on that. To be honest, I kind of agree. Like I'm not super thrilled with the idea of having to rely on Draymond to handle the center spot on a night in and night out basis. Ideally, would like to see more Quentin Post and Trayce Jackson-Davis in those roles, but they have to show that they can kind of, you know, handle it enough to kind of spell Draymond there. But we're seeing it from Quentin Post. I mean, he's knocked down the threes. He's great on the defensive end. Again, he is a rookie, 19 games into his career, but you know, are you cool with Quentin Post getting 10, 12 minutes a night? Okay, you're not even letting me. Okay. 10, 12 minutes a night at the center spot for Quentin Post? You confident with that? How do you feel in there?
Well, that's what he's playing right now.
And then you got to get Trayce Jackson-Davis in there as well a little bit.
I thought you were going to say playing, like starting as the center.
Oh, no. I'm not going there.
The answer is no.
It's just can Quentin Post provide enough minutes in that center spot to where you don't have to over-rely on Draymond Green to handle those center minutes?
No, I mean, to me, in order to get him to the finish line or to the postseason, to me, it's going to have to be something like they just sit him. You know, he doesn't play back-to-back.
Load management, yeah.
Yeah, and then you run with Looney and Post and maybe Trayce Jackson.
That's the other one, yeah, Kevon Looney. I can't believe I forgot to mention Loondog in that one. Get more action from him. Windex cleaning up the boards. Love to see some more Looney down the stretch as well.
Yeah, I think. And also how they work Kuminga in. I mean, I think right now, you know, like based on, all right, let's take like last night for an example and how Kuminga might fit into last night. I think he's absolutely taking Gui Santos's minutes. So that's 20 right there. And then the question is, where do the other 10, if you want to get him to 30, come from? And I think it's going to be some combination of Moses Moody and maybe Draymond Green. You know, that's where it's going to come from. But, like, he's going to have to earn those. I don't think it's a given that Kuminga is going to come back and, even when he's at 100%, just play 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, well, and the fact that it's taken so long for him to come back from what's been said is an ankle sprain. January 4th is when he sustained it, and here we are. It's going to be 2 months, which, you know, some ankle sprains are easier to come back from than others. This one has clearly been one of the more difficult ones for him, and maybe a part of it is they're slow playing it. And, yeah, that is, I feel like, the unsaid truth right now that we're kind of glossing over is that the reality is, as much as we expect Jonathan Kuminga to provide a massive boost for this team down the stretch, there's a non-zero chance that it will not be a seamless, you know, reintegration sensation of Jonathan Kuminga to the Warriors rotation. It could be some, you know, they had to play him into shape a little bit. 2 months off the court, you got to get him the playing shape there, and you're going to be reintegrating him into the lineup during, you know, the most important 20 games of the season. That's, you know, the final 20 games before the playoffs start. So the question I have there is just what kind of a leash is Kuminga going to have to kind of get back into the groove of things there as well? Because I'm not saying that the entire season rides on Jonathan Kuminga coming back healthy, but the season, as we're talking about things getting easier, Jonathan Kuminga coming back and being a, you know, productive member of the rotation, this is not bold to say, that would make things a lot easier as well.
Jonathan Kuminga.
Exactly.
Thanks.
Yeah, shout out Big Kuminga. Smooth.
888-957-9570 if you want to get in on the conversation. Evan Giddings alongside Sam Lubman in for the two Joes here on the Morning Roast. We'll also have you tomorrow when the Warriors are going to play Charlotte and LaMelo Ball comes to town. But before then, you know, the thing about Kuminga is, like, I do think each win makes it more difficult for him to crack whatever the rotation pattern is that Kerr has set. Mm-hmm. Because
it's going really well right now.
Yeah. Well, but also it's been in such flux. They've had 33 different starting lineups. And I know that starting is not everything. That was also something, too. If Jonathan Kuminga did not listen to anything else yesterday, I hoped he listened to Andre Iguodala answer your question, Sam, about the cultural tone setting that he did by coming off the bench. Because it was as much about sacrifice to win as it was you can still get paid even if you're coming off the bench. And the results of the team are going to calculate whatever your future paycheck is more than if you're getting 20 points a night.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can still have a very, very lucrative career as a sixth man off the bench. You know, I think he even said, you know, some bench guys are getting paid more than some four or five guys who are in the starting lineup. So, yeah, there is absolutely an avenue there for Kuminga to establish himself as a great bench player. And, you know, sometimes you establish yourself as a bench guy, that does lead to greater things down the road. If I recall, didn't James Harden once upon a time, wasn't he a sixth man for Oklahoma City? And
well, yeah, but he was a sixth man for a 23 and under finals team.
Yeah. Again, it's my point is just that it is possible for players to be in that six man role and grow it into something else. It's also possible to just have great careers as a six man there. And I always come back to, though, it's starting is whatever. It's who's finishing. And that's where I think Kuminga is going to be the Kuminga impact is going to be greatest in terms of how he impacts that finishing lineup there and how often he's in that finishing lineup. And when he does come back, you know, we'll see where it's at. He's going to get reevaluated before the Orlando game. So there's a non-zero chance he could appear in that one. That could be if he is there, that could be a close enough game. Maybe we'll see him in that closing lineup. But then at Philly, at Charlotte, those are two games the Warriors should have, you know, should in theory be able to win. And then it's at New York on the 4th. That could be another opportunity to see how Kuminga looks closing in a tight game. So there's going to be some opportunities early on to see how he does fit into that closing lineup coming off of injury. Because I think that's where Kuminga's greatest impact will be made, is will be in the final 5 minutes of the fourth quarter in close games.
Well, but I actually think that's going to be determined more so by, well, number one, the game itself, but also Moses Moody. Like, yeah. Moses Moody's playing really well. And it's funny because I also wonder how, say, the fan base is going to handle that, right? You have two favorite sons that I think are being, in a little bit, pitted against each other. I also don't think, for example, like Pods is a lock to finish every game. To me, those two positions are the ones that are up in the air of who closes.
Yeah.
And the two candidates for the shooting guard position are Pajemski, and a lot of people might not like this, Buddy Hield. The number four position is going to be between Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga. And Kerr's going to have to decide, based on who's playing well or how the team is playing, honestly, which of those two, or four, are going to combine to fit the final two spots.
Yeah. Well, of course, the extra layer, though, for Kuminga is how these next, 25 games now, you might come back with 20 to 22, something like that. But these next however many games he plays before the end of the regular season and into the playoffs are going to go a long way to determining what happens to him this summer. This is a guy, he's a restricted free agent. He's going to be looking for a big payday here. I don't know if he's going to get a 30 mil, 35, 40 mil a year deal. Basketball money's always funny. You look around the league, who has cap space, it's all fugazi, fugazi, whatever you want to call it. It's a woozy, it's a wazzy. But yeah, these next, you know, stretch here.
Who is this guy?
That's my Matt McConaughey impression. All right. But yeah, it's going to be determining a big part of his future and how much money he's getting in that future, and if he's even a part of that Warriors future. If he balls out down the stretch here, do the Warriors go out of their way to make sure he stays on this team? Or if it's so-so, is he part of a trade package this summer? And I'm kind of curious how that's going to weigh on Jonathan Kuminga, because this is a guy who has shown a lot of frustration in the past about his role. You know, he went and ran off, talked to who was our guy before? CJ Holmes, the prior beat writer for the Warriors before Sam Gordon. He went and told him, you know, it's like, I'm losing faith in Steve Kerr to getting me to where I want to go.
Now, was it him or was it his camp?
Well, it was, unfortunately, it gets attributed to Kuminga, because that's just how these things work. When it's someone from your camp saying it, then it's, we're going to put that on you, because...
See, no, but that's unfair. You shouldn't do that.
Well, unless, yeah, but that's part of the NBA. It's just things are said about you, they're going to get attributed to you.
Yeah, but that's not the way things should work. If someone at this station, if you produce for the Morning Roast, and you're obviously filling in today, if someone from the Morning Roast talks about you to the boss, you didn't say those things. So why is that coming back on you?
You don't think that Kuminga's saying that, though, with his camp? He's not sitting around with his agent or his buddy saying, man, I'm not feeling it with Steve Kerr right now.
I have never heard once Jonathan Kuminga publicly state that he does not get along with Steve Kerr.
Well, yeah, just because he hadn't said it publicly doesn't mean he wasn't feeling it at some point behind the scenes.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, everybody is going to feel some way or another about a coach when their role is up and down.
Well, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's like, I'm kind of curious if we'll see what the role that Kuminga has here down the stretch in these final 20-something games. You know, how's that going to impact him on a day-to-day basis? Is he going to feel good about it? Is he going to feel frustrated about it? Are they going to empower him in these situations? Like, there's a lot of different places this thing could go with Jonathan Kuminga here in this final stretch of the season, and how that kind of impacts the Warriors season as a whole. I'm just saying it's going to be interesting to see how these things play out. I want to see them play out, of course, and, you know, my optimistic viewpoint is that it will all work out, that Kuminga will, you know, reintegrate himself into the closing lineup, and we will see, you know, the dominance from Eric Congo again, and we'll all, you know, sail off into a fun, happy summer. Well, we gotta see it happen first, but yeah, there's always potential that things could go in a slightly different direction.
Well, there's also not much of a market for him. Like, there's like two teams that are able to sign him for the money that he's wants.
That's where I get into the cap stuff, where it's just, and that's beyond
No. I mean, it isn't cap stuff. It's just reality. Like, there are only a certain amount of teams that can pay him, and I don't think that his price tag has gone through the roof. Like, to me, Kuminga, let me put it this way. The more that the Warriors win, the more difficult I think it is to figure out, like, what his price tag is. The more they win without him. And he also becomes, like, he becomes less of a factor. I think he... Well, let me rephrase that. I think he can be the gravy on whatever this season is, but like before the deadline, he was a necessity. You had to have what Kuminga was bringing to the table. And now, Jimmy Butler appears to be, along with Steph, you know, the tie that raises all boats or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Kuminga can get on one of those waves, but he doesn't have to be someone who's steering the ship now.
Well, so I mean, that's kind of where I'm kind of curious in terms of just how that impacts his value there. I mean, if he becomes less of a necessity, does that make it more likely he's in their plans going forward? Does that lower his price point? Or does that kind of, if it lowers his price point, do other teams kind of come in and see, well, hey, you know, we want Kuminga to be a necessity for us instead of gravy for the Warriors? That's just, these are the questions that I kind of have swirling around in my head right now that I don't know if we answer them now, because obviously we need to see how these games play out, but just as we anticipate this return of Jonathan Kuminga, these are the questions I have swirling around my head in terms of just what's going to be happening next with him.
I mean, to me, off of yesterday, like, he's in the periphery. Like, he's off to the side, and he comes back and they work him in, and he hopefully helps this team stay where they need to be, but they're winning without him. Like, they've won five of six without Jonathan Kuminga, and I have not thought about him much since they acquired Jimmy Butler.
No, yeah, I mean, ever since that injury on January 4th against the Grizzlies, yeah, how many times has there been a game, to your point, Evan, where we're just like afterwards, like, oh, man, this game's different if Jonathan Kuminga's suiting up. I don't know how often that thought has crossed the mind of Warrior fans. There's definitely been times where he's been missed, don't get me wrong. How often, though, it's, you know, probably up to your own opinions in terms of how you view Kuminga's impact on a night-to-night basis.
In the last six games, when have you thought about him?
No, not a whole lot. just the only time I'm thinking about Jonathan Kuminga is just like, man, when will you get this guy back on the court?
Yeah,
that, well, no, actually, that well, no, I'm a wreck. I want to rephrase that, because though actually, the thoughts crossed a lot, only because it's just as good as it has been. The thought has just been like, you know what? Imagine when Kuminga comes back. Does that, how much better does that make it? And I don't know. Maybe it's marginal. Maybe it's not at all. Maybe it's greatly. But my lean is that Kuminga's return will most likely be a positive. That's my lean on it.
Well, that you would hope,
yeah.
You know, but figuring out how he complements this new version of the Warriors, I don't think is going to just be like a simple task. You know, I think it's going to be hard. I think it's going to take some time. And unfortunately, because of his injury, it came at a bad time. But, you know, he's going to have to earn his minutes again. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's going to peeve a lot of people.
Him might be among one of those people who are peeved.
Or his camp.
Yeah, or his camp, that is true.
Or his camp, yeah.
He's going to be saying, man, I'm really peeved right now. And next day, Sam Gordon, Jonathan Kuminga is peeved.
Yeah, but the difference is now the Warriors are legitimately playing good basketball. Like, last year, I know they won 46 games, and they played pretty well after the All-Star break. And a lot of that was because of Kuminga. Once he started playing, I think it was after the Nuggets game in either late December or early January.
We had that game where he came off, like, played like the final 17 minutes and, like, dominated in that one. I feel like that was
That was against Portland.
That was against Portland. Yeah, that Blazers game where that was kind of like the JK we're seeing today kind of got started on that night.
Yeah, but I think he's less of a necessity now on this team. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Hopefully he can add to them and he can make them better. But, I mean, I'm looking forward to how this team can continue to roll. And also, you know, like last night, it's an important game. Not just the win because you beat the Mavericks and along with the rest of the West, you climb in the standings. But also, you don't have to play any of your older players more than 30 minutes. You know, I think one of the reasons why Steph was so good, say, at the beginning of the year
mm-hmm.
when they started 12-3 is because they were blowing teams out. If you can build in rest during games,
less crunch time games, yeah.
And those minutes become more efficient. Curry, I mean, at the end of the day, like if Curry doesn't play the type of basketball that he's been playing for the last six games, scored 29 points a game, shooting close to 50% from the floor, is even getting to the free throw line, playing energized basketball. If he doesn't play like this, then the Warriors aren't going anywhere anyways. So, you know, him along with, and also I think the fact that, like, I'm, in the set of, let's say, what are we going to ask for Kuminga? And that's, you got all these questions, right? My biggest question is, like, when are we going to see the full, like, the best version of Jimmy Butler? Because I don't think that he's in complete game shape yet.
No, he's still, yeah, still working his way
there. He went to the free throw line in the first quarter yesterday and was on almost hands and knees for, like, 10 seconds. Just suck and win.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's going to be one that we'll see how they slowly work that. I mean, it doesn't help that immediately after he gets started, you know, plays four games with the Warriors and immediately, you know, goes off to Dubai for a long weekend. So getting back into game shape, yeah, it's going to take a minute, but if this is the Jimmy Butler we're seeing right now and he's sucking wind every few minutes, yeah, when he stops, I mean, that's, hopefully I'll be coinciding with the return of Jonathan Kuminga, where then it's now we're just waiting for Kuminga to get into game shape. It feels like if this team is positioned where the last 15 games, they're all, you know, loaded and ready to go and they're feeling it, that really sets them up for a great opportunity to, as we say, the time you want to be playing your best basketball is going into the playoffs. All this is optimistically set up for them to be playing their best basketball in the final 10-15 games before the playoffs start.
I gotcha. Yeah, no, I look, this is as much of a ramp-up period as it is go time.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and I hope for the remainder of the season they can remain healthy, they can keep this thing going, because it feels like the confidence just continues to get higher and higher each game, and they're eventually going to get knocked off. You know, I will say the one time where I have thought about Kuminga was when Kyrie lit them up for 38 the last time they played the Mavericks. But when I asked Kerr about the difference in defense on Kyrie after the game last night, he said they didn't really do much differently. He said, they were better.
Like, yeah, they just executed better. And
so
that could just be what it comes down to. I mean, I think, you know,
Kyrie missed shots.
I saw Brandon Podziemski on Kyrie a lot, and Pods, he was holding his own. Like, I mentioned that fast break had on him earlier. That was one of the big moments that stuck out for me, where it's just, you know, seeing in real time, it's just like, oh, Pods, what are you going to do? Oh, yeah. Look at that. Force the miss. You like to see that. So, yeah, on a night-to-night basis, it's going to be interesting to see how they pull that together. But it's just, again, it all boils down to with how, as we wrap up the show here, we got Fast Five in a few seconds. It's just the way this team is feeling just so confident and so at ease with itself right now. I got to think that when Kuminga comes back, you know, coming back into a much easier atmosphere, I got to imagine will help him out a bit as well.
Thank you, Chet. 42 points for Kyrie last time. Also, by the way, again, I said this earlier, I'll tell it again. Pajemski was running down the tunnel after the game, after they won, screaming, they said that white boy can't play defense. So if Pods ain't feeling himself, I don't know who is. He was screaming that, and that was technically on the record.
You know what I'm screaming right now is Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
All right, it's your show. Go for it, Sam.
All right, well, yeah, so this is Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts of the show. I'm going to start off with, I've been sitting on a Giants thought all morning long.
I'm sure.
I know. What else is new? Welcome to spring training, Bryce Eldridge. Carter, if you could, please. Any minute.
Give me a second here, Sam.
All right, I mean.
Festa.
So yeah, so that's what Bryce Eldridge's first home run of spring sounded like.
What
shout
did we
out
just
to,
listen to?
Shout out to Shana Rubin for posting that on Twitter, because apparently that's the only way you can see a Bryce Eldridge home run over the weekend in spring training, because that was not a televised game that the Giants
played.
You couldn't
hear it.
You could hear the swing of the bat, and you heard the guys, the PA announcer, say that it was a Bryce Eldridge home run. So would have loved to have seen a TV call of it. Unfortunately, did not get that. But Bryce Eldridge, 110 miles an hour off the bat, 450 feet. I mean, I know it's a game that's played in February, but, you know, got to get excited about something.
Yeah, him and Willie Adames are using up all their bombs. All right.
Willie Adames?
If he hits 30 this year, I'll pay you $100.
All right, let's get the lock in there.
Yeah, and you owe me a pop if he doesn't. What I would like to do, well, what I was about to do is give you some credit, but you pissed me off by doing that. So, what
a
I would
pop?
A pop,
like a soda pop?
No, like a beer.
A pop? Oh,
yeah, like, but usually you don't explicitly say it, so you just say a pop.
Oh, right. I've never heard it called a pop.
Calm down for a sec. I got a quick Fast Five, then we go to Carter and Cam. I want to give credit to everybody that works in morning radio. This isn't much a take as it is an appreciation post. Oh my God, I woke up at 3:30 this morning and took the 14 Night Owl bus downtown. And let me tell you, there are some horror shows on the Night Owl buses in San Francisco. So what you guys have to do to get to work, to put this program together, I know we're going to be back at it tomorrow, same time, same place, but I just want to show appreciation to Sam Lubman, to Carter Chickering, to Cameron Williams, and to Joe and Joe, because what you guys do is, it's unbelievable.
Absolutely incredible.
All right, my final thought of the day is very simple. I'm glad that people are coming around on the fact that the Warriors have caught some lightning in a bottle here. Mr. E. Giddings here, I'm proud of you. I appreciate you finally admitting here that I think this has got to be the year. They're going to get pretty old coming next year. I hate to say it, but they've got to make the most of this year. And once they get in, let's see what they can do.
All right, Cam, you got one for me?
Yep, this is what I got to say.
You got one?
There
he is.
Oh, there was supposed to be a sound that was supposed to come after that. But I'll say this, the Warriors are definitely looking light. They're looking bright. There's going to be some good stuff coming. But yeah, that's all I got.
Appreciate it, Cam. All right, hard-hitting stuff. Especially, well, speaking of hard-hitters, we got our 3 and 4 spot coming up next at 10 o'clock, Steiny and Guru. You know, Sam, this is fun. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Why not? I
just stole
this.
A line from Willard and Dibbs. I don't know why I did that.
Well, I mean, I'll
cite your sources, though.
There you go. I'm around. You're around. Why not? Let's do it.
You going to beat me here tomorrow morning?
Probably not, no. But that was pretty cool. When I walked in, there was already two people here. It's like, wow, this is so different. But no, I'll probably roll in at my normal time.
That's a shot. I hope your boys aren't listening, dude.
Oh, no, that's we have agreed upon arrival times, you know, when they show
apparently
up. So it's
all not.
Good. Oh, no, with our normal roast roster, yeah, we have our arrival times. So.
Oh, okay. All right, tomorrow, can you promise me something?
Ooh.
You're going to come in a little less stressed, because you know two people are going to be here.
Ugh.
We're here to help you. We're not here to put more on your plate.
We'll see how it goes, but I like that start.
One more promise, Sue. Can we not play any more Bryce Eldridge highlights? That was such a bad highlight.
I purposely played a bad highlight to just highlight the absurdity that we don't have a TV call for that.
Well, we didn't have a radio call for that either, because I don't know what the hell that highlight was. It sounded like a cat dying in a piece of... I don't know what I was listening
to. That's called the Giants season.
Soon, Sam. Soon. About a month and a half away. But it's all good, because we got the Warriors locked in. And keep it locked right here on 95.7 The Game. Steiny and Guru coming up next. We'll talk to you same place, same time. By the way, that was Fast 5, brought to you by Next Generation 10G Network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Evan Giddings, Sam Lubman, we'll be back with you tomorrow, filling in for Shasky and Spadoni. Thank you to everybody that called in, chimed in, and tuned in. Steiny and Guru coming up next on 95.7 The Game.
Fugazi, Fugazi, whatever you want to call it. It's a woozy, it's a wazzy.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.